The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another
fun-filled episode.
Yes, another another joyride with We the People. I'm Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Cundiff.
And I'm Bob Martin.
Bob provides all our music. Bill and I are just the foils. We're the official foils. So let's see, you can find everything about us.
Speak for yourself.
Yeah. Are you not going to be the foil?
No, I'll be the foil. Don't go too hard on me.
I wanted you to be the pinata. Are you going to do that?
Yeah, I'm the piñata and you're the stick.
Pretty much. That's where we were going.
Okay.
You can find everything that you need to know about the program, sponsorship, archives, all sorts of good stuff. Contact information for us. It's all at wethepeopleradio.us. And all sorts of stuff about our guest and her website and all those things. So you don't have to, you know, crash if you're driving your car and listening or take time out of your chores if you're listening and get a pen. So it's all right there for you.
Shout out to Philadelphia.
Yes, and for the nice folks in Philadelphia, I think you'll learn lots of things about life in the rural West.
That's right.
See, we're counting on you guys. You know, a lot of people think that they think it's kind of a waste of time that we do so many programs about land use for the folks in the East, but it's really important. You just don't have the endangered species problem in the East. You don't have the Army Corps of Engineers problems, and I hear that the fish and game type folks, the game police back there, will actually help you, you know, if you shoot a deer or something.
Wow,
they'll help you load them.
That's a novel concept. I wonder if they could get some of those folks to, you know, transfer out to the West Coast.
Out here they're hiding in the bushes waiting to crack us over the head, you know.
Yeah.
So it's a really different environment, but you guys vote out there and your representatives vote. So we need you to sometimes send this information to your representatives and so they can stick up for us a little bit. We could use the help.
Absolutely.
All right. So our guest today is Ronnie Bell Sylvester, and she is with Land and Water USA. Their website is it's all spelled out, landandwaterusa.com. Pretty simple. And let's see, Ronnie Bell is the founder and volunteer editor of Land and Water USA and a former 2014 Republican gubernatorial candidate for the state of Colorado. She lives in LaSalle, Colorado. And for some reason it says on our site that's mountain time, so I get it. Yes, in case anybody's curious. Not sure why that's included. Northeast of Denver. She and Chuck, her husband Chuck, live on Chuck's grandfather's farm on the South Platte River that was flooded out last fall during the Denver flood. They also have a ranch in Wyoming. All right, so that's all the particulars. So, Ronnie, where do you want to go?
Well, you talked about land use, and I think that that's the whole everything since our foundation of America was built on that opportunity to acquire and enjoy property, and of course property is land and water, and that's what's being kind of swept out from underneath us.
Yeah, well, and if the government isn't, you know, I think sometimes people don't understand. I explain this a lot to folks that live in the city, that when you don't have water or control of your water, you really don't own land. And
well, this is true. The only thing that's becoming the only thing recently that they're starting to pay attention to, though, Aaron, is carriage a method in which you can carry water from point A to point Z, and so that part of the land is becoming important because they do need a carriage vessel, and so it's getting to be kind of a double whammy coming at people who do have land and or water and or both, in that they try to either get your water away from you or they try to get your land away from you so that they can carry the water.
Well, that's helpful.
Yes. It's a continual challenge. You have a multiple vessels. Missiles that are deployed at you from every direction, between endangered species to the EPA to the Army Corps to just man's man-made manipulations of in-stream flows, and it just goes on and on. So you feel like if you're a property owner today, you feel as though you're just deluged under all of these attacks.
Man, we've been hearing a lot lately about the control of water, the control of groundwater, and you're right. If you own property and you have no access to water, or you're restricted to the use of the water that's even on your property, your land's almost worthless unless you can get water to it, because pretty much any development you do on that land is going to require water.
That's right. And one of the sort of interesting little things that we've seen formulaic?
There is today. Yeah,
there is today. Today we're having.
It's patternistic. Let's say throughout, in particular, the states of the West or west of the 100th meridian that are under the Spanish law, the prior appropriation, as opposed to states east of the 100th meridian that are under the English or the riparian law. And I call it riparian creek because they're trying to impose that riparian law on states of the West so that they can get more control of it. But water in the West is critical. We're under a semi-arid desert and desert conditions where we have a lower precip, obviously, than the eastern part of the United States, and so that's kind of how the prior appropriation came into place, so to speak.
So what is it? Define both of those for people, because, you know, we have so many people who listen who live in a town, and in a town your water comes out of the tap, out of the hose, it comes from your city, and even sometimes in our rural towns it's very similar to a municipal water. We don't have so many folks who live on, you know, ranches, farms, and who deal with, say, wells and whatnot. So maybe give them some background on that a little bit.
Well, I'm not as familiar with riparian, of course, as I am prior appropriation. But riparian, as I understand it, Aaron, is when the water, you can use whatever water flows through your property. You can't hoard it. You can't store it and hoard it and deprive the downstream people. But under prior appropriation, it's first in time, first in right. And that goes with the flow. So it's really easy to understand in that you have Colorado is a watershed state, for example. So, Just picture the watershed anywhere, let's say the Grand Lake area of Colorado. The people who put that water as it flows into beneficial use has the prior appropriation or the earliest date. And then as it flows downstream, there are later dates. And that's why it's easy to remember that you have to first have water to put to beneficial use.
So meaning irrigating crops, watering livestock, that kind of thing?
Well, it's yes. For example, if you put water to beneficial use at the mouth of a cow, that's a prior appropriation. And you can record that date and it's adjudicated, or, you know, they have a lot of different terms for the same meaning, basically. But to me, it's easy to understand. Water attorneys really don't want you to understand how simple it is. They want you to think it's extremely complicated. And in Colorado, and I think most of the states of the West, in their constitutions, simply say water. They do not differentiate between ground and surface. They say simply water. When water is put to beneficial use, because our forefathers were smart enough to know that all water is connected. And so, as the water comes down and flows out. You have the oldest date, for example, in Colorado is 1853 in the San Luis Valley.
So that's the earliest water right you could have.
Yes, But on the South Platte River, I think maybe some of the earliest dates might be 1859, maybe. Ours that we are on is at 1870, and those are territory of Colorado.
Okay.
And so under statute, that stays. That can never be extinguished. They can't take that right away from you. Once you have made that first date of recording of putting your water to beneficial use, that is the only date that stays. What happened here in Colorado is in about 1969 or so, they started recording wells. And then they would say, well, you know, you might have a 1870 date of adjudication, but you propped a well in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
So you are junior. And then they separated the groundwater in definition. They separated the groundwater from the surface water and then reversed the junior and senior rights. So one of the things that is just so definitely wrong is the reporting of water in Colorado. When you read newspaper articles and so forth, they'll say, for example, that the eastern part of the South Platte River is senior, and the western part of the South Platte River, which is close to the headwaters, is junior. No. That's completely incorrect.
Now who's saying that? Who's trying to set that up?
Well, let me just kind of give you a brief overview.
All right.
And this is happening in California, Montana, Nevada. I mean, we're not alone. It is patternistic. Some very, very, very brilliant people, maybe a combination of hydrologists and attorneys and thieves, gypsies, tramps, and thieves. I don't know.
Oh, there's a good song for us. Before we get into this, let's take a really quick break so that we don't have all of them at the same time. This is going to be one of those shows where, like, all the time sort of dominoes to the end, and then it's 2 minutes in between every break.
Oh, okay.
We'll take a really quick break. Come back with Ronnie Bell Sylvester. We're talking about landandwaterusa.com. There's a lot of information on there, and talking about water rights at the moment. You're listening to We the People. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us.
What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over, but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Good old Cher.
Good old Cher. That's a song.
Oh, little did she know.
That's a song crying to be played. That's funny. Okay, now if we didn't make you lose it, continue on.
I just want to simplify this, really,
sure.
Bill and Aaron, because for me it is really, really simple, and what I try to do is come up. What we try to do is come up with solutions as opposed to just harping. So, and please don't play any harp music.
You've noticed, Bob's very suggestible.
Yeah. Okay, it's really very simple. Very brilliant people figured out how to manipulate in-stream flows. So, in Colorado, for example, on the South Platte River, they figured out how to overhydrate the whole entire upper end of the South Platte Basin so that they could, excuse me, maintain a perennial stream flow past Kersey, Colorado, where it would normally or historically dry up because it's based on precip and snowpack. And so naturally, you know, it will dry up at a certain point. But in 2000 and, well, kind of a lap over 2005, 2006, they apparently convinced a judge that the lower end, now we're talking about everybody east of Kersey, Colorado to the Nebraska border, convinced the judge that the upper end was overpumping and causing depletions or depriving them of their water, which was untrue. And they did not have to shoulder any burden of harm, proof of harm, or anything. They just said, gee, the guys on the upper end are bullies, and they're taking our water, and we're not getting any of our water. So the judge shut down all the wells on the upper end. Well, this created a wonderful underground reservoir for the lower end and raised the water table from its historic approximate 20 foot up to 2 feet in surfacing.
Oh, wow.
And yes, and has now maintained this wonderful, delightful perennial in-stream flow that goes to the Nebraska border, but I haven't seen any proof that it actually, we lose over 1 million acre feet water annually to Nebraska, but I don't know, I have not seen that water actually flow into Nebraska. I think it's being captured at the border, diverted, retimed, and sold, like to Denver, Aurora, Castle Rock, Parker, that type of thing.
So are they pumping the water out of these aquifers and shipping it by canal, or what are they doing?
Well, no, but now you ask an interesting question, Bill, because when I was doing research on this about 4 years ago, I made a comment to my husband. Let me back up. They built a reservoir just really, really just like south of Denver, but it's like almost Denver. I mean, it's a fairly good-sized reservoir. It's called the Ruder Hess Reservoir. And it's a brand-new pup, and they built it quickly. And how they managed to get by all the environmental impact studies and everything so quickly is still a mystery to a lot of us.
Yeah, nothing happens quickly.
And they built it on a hill. My husband toured it, and they said they were going to fill it with runoff. And so every time we would pass it, he would look at that and say, I don't know how they're going to fill that with runoff when it's built on a hill. And finally, in my research, I made a kind of a smart alecky comment to him. I said, oh, they'll probably just figure out a way to take it off the plat and pipe it down there. And he's like, oh, that's ridiculous. How could they ever do that? I said, I don't know. But I just, my gut sense is that they could do that or would do that. Well, I was going through some minutes of meetings, and sure enough, there it was. There were two presentations to the city of Parker from two different entities saying, and so what we'll do is we'll just take it off of the Platte River and we'll pipe it down E-470.
Oh, boy.
And so this is happening again. I can't stress that enough.
So they're putting pipelines in.
This is not unique under Colorado.
So they're putting pipelines in and diverting it through pipes.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's kind of what they want to do here with the tunnels.
See?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it is flat-out theft of water.
Now, is this all still under state control, or is any of this, I don't know, maybe we can talk about both, because I know there's federal water laws and state water laws. Do you run into that in Colorado?
Well, some have claimed that federal owns the water. Federal does not own the water. Federal has to acquire the water, purchase the water just like anybody else, period. They do not own the water, therefore they do not control the water. Excuse me. And states, in fact, do control their own water. And in particular, on streams that are not considered as navigable under the Interstate Commerce Clause.
Yeah, but anymore.
Anymore, if it's got a rock and three rocks in a row, they're calling it a navigable stream.
Yeah, four drops of water together.
And that's completely inaccurate. And it's a something that's being perpetrated by, I think, the EPA and the Army Corps under the WOTUS, the Waters of the U.S. There is no such thing as Waters of the U.S. It's interesting how they will just turn a word, turn a phrase to market this sort of a propaganda.
Oh, yeah.
So they can just take our water.
Well, they just got jammed on the Waters of the U.S., what, 2 days ago?
I'm sorry?
They just got jammed up on the Waters of the U.S. a couple of days ago.
Well, maybe it's been a week now, approximately. But just today, I just came up with a little simple kind of a thing because I really kind of get challenged by people who really, really, truly don't understand it, and they're not being smart alecks about it. They really don't understand it because on the surface it does seem complicated. And so I wrote this little short thing, I did a thing called Examples of Incorrect Terminology and Misperceptions, because there's a lot of them. And I started out with prairie dogs, correct terminology, prairie rodents. Well, it's true.
We've done a show on prairie dogs. The people who have to deal with the prairie dogs hate them.
Yes, exactly. Referring to prairie rodents as dogs perpetuates the myth of fluffy little playthings.
That's true.
They are so cute.
As opposed to the disease-carrying, property-destroying rats that they are. And then I went to wild horses. Incorrect. Correct terminology, feral horses. And then immigrants versus illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
And how removing the word illegal removes the solution. It's like saying that cow as opposed to that rank cow.
Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, I worked down to, public land. That's incorrect. The correct terminology is federal land. Referring to federal land as public removes statutes, case law, U.S. and state constitutions, split estates and private property on federal land.
Okay.
Perpetuation of this inaccuracy misleads the public and government into thinking theft of private property on federal land is A-okay.
Right.
Then we go to navigable versus navigable. In statute, navigable pertains to interstate commerce. In science, navigable pertains to flow. EPA and Army Corps despise the interstate commerce definition of navigable because it is the governing statute that reigns in their authority on waterways.
Yeah, because otherwise they consider anything that has, you know, that can be considered water is under their purview.
That's right. Yep. That's exactly right, because they want to control every drop of water in the U.S. They continually reference navigable as flow as a means to quash navigable as statute.
Yep. And if they can, what we're seeing now, and you're probably seeing it where you are, is a big move to control the groundwater. And so no longer can, you know, if you have a well or any of those things, you know, they want their mitts on all of that.
Well, and you know Jay Lear, correct?
I know the name.
Well, he's a fairly world-renowned hydrologist. And I think he's with the Heartland Institute.
That's why his name's familiar. You okay. know, I've written to him a million times and said, hey, will you come on our show?
Oh, he is a fantastic
individual. So if you have any pull, I don't apparently, so maybe you
Well,
could.
He truly is a fantastic individual, Aaron. And I point blank asked him in person last summer. Yeah, it was last summer. I asked him if ground and surface water were inseparable. And he kind of looked at me for a second and he said, well, all water is connected. I asked, does the water molecule ever completely vanish? And he said, no. So ground and surface water are, in fact, inseparable. And when water evaporates and it goes up and it doesn't completely vanish and the molecule comes down in a different form, and it just continues to do that. And for them to get you in the minutiae or drag you down into the weeds of this ground and surface and topography and this canal and that irrigation point and that acre feet and that just all of that is how they keep people so confused that they end up stuttering.
Sure. Well, people who don't have any experience there, they're really hesitant.
Well,
and
you don't get any experience until you have a problem, and at
sure.
that point you're a little behind the eight ball.
But you look at people that are selling, you know, rural pieces of land, and if you haven't done that before, it all looks really
complicated.
It looks like a minefield.
Yeah.
We need to take a really quick break. We'll come right back. We're speaking with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA, and you're listening to We the People. Join us online, WeThePeopleRadio.us.
Mississippi, she's calling my name. Catfish are jumping, that paddle wheel bumping. Black water keep rolling on fast, just the same.
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
Oh, black water, keep on rolling.
Mississippi moon, won't you keep on shining on me?
I'm on Cripple Creek. She sends me if I spring a leak. She mends me. I don't have to speak. As she defends me. A drunkard scream if I ever did see war.
That's the only words I know.
Don't quit your day job.
Are you guys playing with pogo sticks?
Well, for our listening audience, I put the Waters of the United States, the article that came out of Politico. I'm sure there were a bunch of others. Just happened to be the one I had. Came out Monday.
I can't wait to look at that.
Yeah, it's the Federal Appeals Court rejected President Barack Obama's effort to move forward with a series of executive actions he announced last year seeking to give quasi-legal status and work permits to millions of legal immigrants. There's that. And then they hammered him on the waters of the U.S. right after it. So got two biggies there.
Mm-hmm.
I listed them both for you.
Personal foul, 15 yards.
Oh, yeah. he doesn't fare well in court.
No, he doesn't.
Does not do well in court. Stuff goes sideways for him.
Well, when you make
court.
Stuff up as you go along, a lot of times it gets kind of slapped down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Well, because we do have that little detail called the U.S. Constitution.
It is so pesky. I know.
What a nuisance!
It's annoying. He wants to slap it. Wants to swish it away.
Exactly.
On this navigable. And the waters of the USA.
Yes.
I think that you would find this true story interesting. And I hope that Dinesh D'Souza listens to your program. If he doesn't, I'm going to send this to to him, because I want him to do a documentary called Water Runners, a documentary about America's water running cartel.
Well, he's going to have to stay out of jail and get that done.
Oh, way to pick
the
scab.
He'll probably go back in if he tries this.
Okay, don't have him listen to that part.
Yeah,
it's not
tell,
a selling
tell.
Feature. Bill, you're
I
fired.
I was kidding.
He's fired.
And I did ask him, and he said, I don't know anything about water. And I said, it's really simple. I'll be happy to tutor you. I'd be honored to tutor you. Because this is huge. It's really the biggest. It's the biggest thing going on in the U.S.
Yes,
today.
It is.
Oh, it's huge. That's where I think you're going to see the next big battles is over water again, like we had in the old West. I mean, water's a big deal.
Bill, about 10 years ago, I listened to a person speak at a stock growers meeting. And this was a lady who happened to be a three-time commander in Afghanistan, say out loud, the next fights that we have, I'm afraid there's going to be bloodshed over water on American soil. And I thought she was an alarmist. I thought she was a freak. I thought, what the hell is she talking about?
And now you're like, oh, my God,
yeah.
She's a
no,
prophet.
It's true. And I think because California has been, you know, saddled with this drought over the last, 5 years, a lot of this stuff is really kind of coming to light. And, you know, I bet if we started getting normal rainfall and all the lakes filled up and the rivers were full and, you know, the birds were singing, we wouldn't hear anything about this. But now that water's getting tight, we're starting to hear a lot about these water battles.
Well, and they've done a lot of stream diversion there, too. So a lot of that is a combination of man-made drying up and nature-made drought. So you have a really interesting combo of things there, all the way from Washington State through Oregon down through California.
Well, look what's happening in Las Vegas and the Colorado River. I mean, they're screaming up there. That lake is going to go dry, and when it does, Las Vegas is going to go away.
Well, that'd be a rude awakening.
I doubt whether Harry Reid would ever allow that to happen.
Well, unless he can make it rain. I mean, if you look at the water level in that lake, it's been going down now for how many years, and it's at record lows right now. We seriously need some rain in the West.
Well, and that is true. That is true. But he's one of the big players in this water game.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're right.
So it's just all very interesting. But what actually happened that kind of brought my attention to this bigger picture, April 17th, 2014, Governor Hickenlooper came to our farm. We wanted to show him the debris and the sediment underneath one of the main bridges between Denver and Cheyenne, Wyoming, and ask him to have CDOT or someone remove that debris. And he had sort of a, I don't know. I said, Governor, you need to have the Army Corps, CDOT, or Union Pacific, or someone needs to get that debris out from underneath that bridge, because as you know, as you've seen now firsthand, it creates a lake and backs up and has flooded out all of these property owners on the west side of it, and it goes around that then and floods everybody out on the east side.
And when you do get normal rainfall, that's going to be a real problem.
It was already. It happened.
Sure.
And so his reaction was sort of unusual. He was like, I don't know. I'll try. I thought, that's kind of an odd response from a governor. So after pondering on that for a bit, I called a friend in northern Nebraska, and I said, Tell me again that story about the flood on the Missouri in 2011. He said, I was out playing golf, and I heard a noise coming off the Missouri that I'd never heard before. So when I went to investigate, I found the Army Corps building sandbars for the piping plover.
For what?
Sandbars for the piping plover on the Missouri River.
Oh.
So I thought about that and thought about that. I thought, wait a minute. Okay, the Army Corps won't do anything with the South Platte River. The South Platte River has never been maintained by any government agency. And then it just hit me. Of course, it's because the South Platte River is not considered as navigable, and it's not under their jurisdiction, period. The
right.
First river east that is the Missouri that borders along Nebraska's eastern border. And that's when it really, then I started really digging into this, into the statutes and so forth, just because of this debris underneath our bridge. And I called another person who is a part of that, I don't know how many people. At last I checked, there was over 200 entities that had sued the Army Corps because of the flood on the Missouri. The checks and the gates and the sandbars and everything. And asked him to reiterate that suit. Well, they're making some actual progress on that suit because statutes were ignored. The only purpose of the Army Corps is to build, there to build bridges and dams and that type of infrastructure, and on navigable waters for the purpose of commerce.
Well, in our little town, they also get involved in what kinds of trees you can plant along the creeks and so forth, because we had some folks that Army Corps engineers yanked their trees out because they weren't...
In their own backyard.
Yeah, in their own backyard.
No,
they were too
close.
No,
see, that's a total violation of statute.
Sure.
And I'm glad you brought that up, Bill, because... In simple, Aaron, you mentioned that you like the no trespassing sign. That's where it all begins. We should not let these people on our property in the first place.
Nope.
Good point.
Nope. Not unless they got a warrant in their hands or something.
That's right, Bill.
They don't have the right just to come on your property. And we were told that if it is part of a... an investigation that a crime has been committed on your property, then they can come on your property. But that's kind of broad.
To my knowledge, Bill, they have to actually see the bomb thrower or whatever cross your property or come onto your property. They have to be in pursuit, or they have to have a warrant, or they have to have has to be a fire.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think in this case there was private property that bordered up against a navigable waterway, and somebody on that waterway saw what they perceived as a violation of the law on this private property, and so here came Fishing Game and NOAA and banging on the door wanting to go out and inspect their property. No warrants, no nothing, just on somebody's hearsay, basically.
And that was a twofold violation. Number one, there are no navigable waters in Redding, California.
Mm.
There are no, no.
Really?
Not,
even the Sacramento River?
Even the Sacramento River?
Does it carry commerce across the state board?
No.
Does it carry a 13-ton barge?
No.
No.
Are your bridges and your infrastructure built so that they'll clear a mass or...
No.
Deep enough, you see what I'm saying?
Oh, and that's what defines navigable?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, they need to be educated then, because they're making every little creek, every little.
They've got their nose in everything, but you know, we're seeing NOAA finding people, and they're 160 miles from the ocean. So I guess
so
that
NOAA
National
is now
Oceanic.
Taking over as another regulatory agency on private property.
Yep.
That's really amazing.
Well, you know what
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. You know what they're doing, though? This is really slick. Now, when you have a deal like the federal government that prints their own money, So you've got an outfit that prints their own money. So what better way to do it than to take your agency, your limited budget state agency, and then let's get the federal guys involved somehow because they got nothing but money to throw at this thing and to fight these people and scare them.
Well, Aaron, you bring up an excellent point because one of the reasons why they're not only taking private property on federal land, they're starting to really get aggressive about taking deeded property. And the reason is because they want to use that to collateralize loans from the Federal Reserve, a private company.
Right.
It's really ingenious.
And they want to use the tribes to do it. There's that
whole
thing. That is a whole deal of its. We got to go there. We need to go into the tribe thing. But I do want to tell you about this NOAA case because
yeah.
I think people would be surprised at the kind of stuff these folks are doing. We need to take one more quick break here before the top of the hour and see what Bob's got in store for us.
I want to get into this whole trespassing thing because it's a big problem.
Oh, and just so people know, at wethepeopleradio.us, I've got a link on there for these terrific private property signs that we will talk about in 5 seconds.
In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep. From the mountains of fame to the river so deep, I must be looking for something. Something sacred I know. But the river is wide, and it's too hard to cross.
How high's the water, Mama? 2 feet high and rising. How high's the water, Papa? She said it's 2 feet high and rising. But we can make it to the road in a homemade boat, 'cause that's the only thing we got left to float. It's already over all the wheat and oats. 2 feet high and rising.
That is good.
So then if he went over a state line, then it'd be navigable, right?
Carrying at least 13-ton barge for the purpose of commerce.
Oh, okay, so forget it. It still doesn't qualify.
Oh, I did not know that. Because
we've just been so bamboozled on this thing.
Yeah, we have been, because we've got it right from, you know, the fish and game and the rest of these guys that pretty much anything that is flowing is navigable.
Oh, and I'm so rude. I had to sit in some meeting with those dopes from Army Corps, and the guy's like, if it's water, we're... Because it was a guy who was growing wheat, dry land wheat. Mm-hmm. And the Army Corps was all over him because they said that he had disturbed navigable waterway because there were some depressions in the ground that could have held rainfall. And I'm like, wait a minute. You can't float a boat in that. What are you talking about? It doesn't connect to a creek or a stream or anything else. And they said, if it's water pooled on the ground, we consider it navigable, and that's under our purview. And I'm like, well, how much water does it have to be? And they said, it could be very small. So I licked my finger and I held it out. I go, are you in charge of that? The lady, she didn't find me funny.
Which finger was it?
I've got two friends, and you're the tall one in between.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's like, what the heck?
Where can we find that definition? Because I would,
let's put it on here.
I would love to post that.
Is that a federal
or what?
Well, yes, it is federal. What I'll do is I'll just zip you this little short that I just did today.
Nice.
That I sent to our Attorney General and to our Farm Bureau. My husband just left now with a stack of them to take to a Farm Bureau meeting. But respective of the term navigable and WOTUS, please know that under statute, the EPA or Army Corps of Engineers do not have authority over waterways in Colorado. Army Corps builds structures, dams, bridges, etc., but does not have regulatory authority over water. Federal jurisdiction only applies to navigable waters of the U.S. So if the South Platte is non-navigable, then there is no federal jurisdiction in the first place. Now, here I'm going to read you two really key sentences that you can take to the bank, Bill. Even if the South Platte was navigable, then Title 33, USCA Chapter 26, I'm not going to read all that, says, except as expressly provided in this chapter, nothing in this chapter shall be construed as impairing or in any manner affecting any right or jurisdiction of the states with respect to the waters, including boundary waters of such states. What is exempt from Army Corps and EPA? All navigable waters of the United States as defined in the judicial decisions. Here's the big key, guys.
Yeah, this is what I want.
Judicial decisions prior to the passage of the 1972 amendments. Bingo! Now, with your farmer friend, the wheat farmer, here's something really critical to remember. Statutory permit exemptions make it clear that even if there were navigable waters in Colorado or California or any state in the West, Congress intended to exclude agricultural activities.
Well, there was a bill that amendment our congressman did that said that the Army Corps was not allowed to regulate farming. It was part of a budget deal, and it literally lined them out. They weren't allowed to regulate farming.
That's correct.
And so it was still on their website, and I remember people from the office called and said, hey, how come it's still on your website? You can't regulate farming. That bill went through, and they said, oh, that's not how we read it.
And just 2 weeks ago, because there was a fella with one of the towns here in Colorado who kept saying at meetings that the Army Corps controlled the water, and he and my husband would have these go-arounds. So finally we had do you know Dr. Angus McIntosh?
I guess we don't know anybody. We're totally out of the loop. I don't know what we've been doing. We don't know anyone. What's happening
well,
here?
Dr. McIntosh is very quiet, very, very low-key person, but he's probably one of the most brilliant individuals in the U.S. when it comes to policy and statutes. He has his master's in water adjudication and his doctorate in ag economics, and he understands this to the finite. He's one of those individuals who sits in law libraries, and he can reel off case law and statutes like you wouldn't believe, and is very unique to such extent. Bill and Aaron, we wanted to give one of his ranches in Wyoming to CSU to develop a policy research department because no one knows these things.
Exactly.
So they're making really bad policy based on that.
Well, they're getting away with all sorts of stuff. So we have like a minute left in this hour. We've got you hostage for the second hour, so we have tons of stuff still to do. But I wanted people to not miss out if they can't stick with us for the second hour. The no trespassing signs, they say, no trespassing. Trespassers will be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. No immunity for criminal trespass by government parties. You can get a metal sign that's 12 by 18 for $26. You can get 3x4 stickers, a dozen of them, $2 each. And head to landandwaterusa.com or check on wethepeopleradio.us. It's right there on our page. We will be back in a couple short minutes with Ronnie Bell Sylvester from Land and Water USA.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.